This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
So I did not want the Big Ten tournament to ever end. For the first time in my life, I was perfect gambling on the Big Ten tournament, on any tournament. I bet 11 times on 10 games. I bet the Michigan first half line against Nebraska, and I hit that. Of the other 13 games, I placed 10 wagers down on it and against the spread. And I went 10-0 in those games and 1-0 on the other game, and I went 11-0 gambling on the Big Ten tournament. So I was, I don't know, seeing the field incredibly well. I doubt I'll do that this weekend with the Big East and the ACC, two tournaments that I always bet. But, man, I had a lot of fun, and I watched nearly every single game of the Big Ten tournament, ultimately the win for Michigan. I took Michigan plus the points. I didn't take them outright yesterday, but they easily covered that 3.5 to 4.5 point line, depending on where you were. And it was a really impressive victory, four-day stretch for Michigan. Eric Leisure, BTPowerhouse.com, SB Nation site covering the Big Ten, joining us here on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Eric, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself, Matt?
I'm doing great. Let's start with Michigan, and we'll go through the conference tournament here a little bit. But the four wins for Michigan, I think John Beilein's a wizard. I think that he's got a really interesting team playing really, really well right now. What jumped out at you, other than Michigan winning the whole thing, what impressed you about Michigan this weekend?
You know, this is a very different Michigan team than I'm used to seeing. In years past, they kind of relied on the three a lot, and defense was an afterthought. But watching this team in person over the four-day stretch, the way they're able to kind of just shut down teams, maintain the flow of the game, play it at their tempo, is going to pay dividends moving forward as this team gets ready for March Madness. I think that they're clear and away the best defensive team in the Big Ten, if not one of the best defensive teams in the nation. And I think that's what's going to set this team apart and what impressed me the most about getting to watch them play the past week.
Yeah, and I was really impressed with just the bigs. I was impressed with the guards. I was impressed with, you know, defensively, we kind of knew going in Michigan was going to play great defense, but they shot the ball incredibly well this weekend on a neutral floor. Going towards the NCAA tournament, that's got to be a great sign for Wolverine fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Mo Wagner is been a revelation as far as Big Ten hoops this year. The player I was excited to see play, and I was really the matchup between him and Haas, the Big Ten championship, was something that I keyed in on. I wasn't sure how Haas was going to be able to defend Wagner, because Wagner is one of those you know, Europeans that can stretch the floor. Both of them had a good game, but Purdue really struggled to find a way to slow him down during that championship game, and he's going to be one of those players that's a headache for matchups for the rest of the season.
You know, what do you make of Purdue, the team that lost to Michigan in the Big Ten title? They were down. Their biggest deficit of the year was during that game against Michigan. But I didn't like the way they played the entire tournament. I didn't like them against Rutgers. I didn't like what I've seen over the last month over Purdue. Where are you right now on the Boilermakers?
Yeah, you know, they had that rough stretch towards the tail end of the Big Ten regular season and then seemed to have somewhat righted the ship. As far as the championship game, they looked like a team that was just out of gas, but they had the extra advantage of playing one less game than Michigan, so that really shouldn't have been the situation for them. They have what I think is the best player in the Big Ten. Carson Edwards is amazing. Rough game, the Big Ten championship notwithstanding. I think it's going to be, they're going to be kind of an enigma going forward. I really no idea what to expect for the Boilermakers. If you told me that they end up getting spotted as the 3 or 4 seed and get bounced in the first round, I wouldn't be surprised. At the same time, if you tell me that Carson Edwards gets hot, carries the team to the Final Four, that wouldn't shock me either. So they're really going to be kind of a Rubik's Cube to figure out as we settle in and see how – it's going to be really important for them to see how the bracket falls for them in the tournament.
Yeah.
As matchups is going to be a huge part of whether or not they're able to push forward. If they get the wrong type of team, a team like Michigan that they just saw in the Big Ten Championship, their stay in March Madness could be very short.
Yeah, I think they're going to wind up becoming either a 2 or a 3 seed, Eric.
Yeah.
And I have them on upset. I have them on upset alert without even seeing who they're going to play.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about how they're going into the tournament. And then you mentioned matchups. If they play a team that can run, shoot the three, and defend, if they got a big man who can take care of Haas, they got problems. I did not like the. I thought they were boring and predictable, and maybe they were tired, but I thought they were pretty boring. You know, for almost every game they played in New York.
Yeah, I mean, they were lucky to survive that Rutgers game. I know you mentioned that before, but I mean, that's a game that for the talent difference between Rutgers and Purdue should have won that game, you know, in the first half. And the fact that Rutgers stayed in that game against Purdue for as long as they did is not a good sign for the health of the Purdue team going forward.
Eric Leisure covering the Big Ten, BT Powerhouse, SB Nation site covering the Big Ten, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. Let's go to the bubble here. We know, we'll talk about Michigan State and Ohio State in a second. We know that they're going to be in. We know Purdue and Michigan are also going to be in with high seeds coming up for the dance. But we have Penn State and Nebraska. I know you're close with Penn State. You cover them. So
yep.
Let's talk about the run that the Nittany Lions went on here. They did not get it all the way where I thought they had to. If they made the final, I think they could have gotten an at-large bid. They didn't get there. How do you feel about Penn State? Chances of getting an at-large bid?
It's really going to come down to what the committee is going to value this year. Their resume is tough to figure out. They have those 3 wins over Ohio State, and then not a lot after that. They have a home loss to Rider, which is really going to hurt their RPI. But if you want to go to the old adage of do they pass the eye test, absolutely. Tony Carr is one of the best players in the Big Ten. Somebody not a lot of people give enough attention to. And it will be interesting to see how the committee looks at the fact that they were missing their second best player in 6'9", Mike Watkins, pretty much their only interior option. So they were missing him for the last 3 games of the regular season and the entire Big Ten tournament. So the fact that they were still able to pull out 2 wins in New York without his services will go a long way. Ultimately, I think they're going to be on the wrong side of the bubble. I just don't think there's enough on their resume to warrant their justification in the tournament. That said, every other major conference, and this is weird for the Big Ten this year, still have games to play. So there's plenty of teams that are ahead of them on the bubble right now that could end up playing their way out of the tournament, and Penn State could then benefit and slide into that first 4 games in Dayton.
Yeah, and they got some help with Syracuse's loss to Boston College.
Absolutely.
You see some bad losses, you know, teams that are competing with them. But you mentioned the eye test, Eric, and after watching I spent a lot of time in Omaha, Nebraska. I've watched Husker basketball for a long time. I watched them this year. I watched the Big Ten this year, and I watched the Big Ten tournament. There isn't even a debate in my mind. If you're talking Penn State versus Nebraska, there is not even a conversation I'm willing to have about which team is more viable or which team is more deserving, in my opinion, to get into the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you come
from?
For
me, I give the strong edge to Penn State over that one. Nebraska's got some good players, and I'm high on James Palmer Jr. I think he's a very talented player. The way I would look at both of their resumes stacked up next to each other, Penn State has higher highs but lower lows, and Nebraska's kind of been more of a baseline team. They're really going to struggle resume-wise from the fact that Minnesota absolutely fell apart. That was looking like a marquee win for them, and then the fact the Gophers just decided to stop being a basketball team.
Yeah,
is going to hurt their resume. That Michigan win, though, does look really good now for Nebraska, considering that Michigan did just go on to win the Big Ten tournament. On the flip side, however, the fact that Nebraska really failed to show up against Michigan in the Big Ten tournament, a game that they, in my mind, absolutely had to have if they wanted to justify an at-large bid, is going to probably the freshest thing in the mind of the committee to sit down and discuss the Cornhuskers.
Yeah, they got absolutely trounced by Michigan, and Michigan's their one good win, and they did it at home, by the way. They didn't win anything on the road and nothing in the non-conference. Winning home games is great, but I know Bruce Rasmussen quite well, and he always talks about the most difficult thing to do in college basketball is win on the road, and I expect this committee to really heavily value wins on the road this year when it comes to selecting at-large bids for the tournament. Where you were there in New York, and I covered the Missouri Valley for a long time, and this has been a long conversation about when you play the weekend before everybody else and you sit for 11 days before you play, what does that do to all of your teams that make the tournament? This is a power conference team and not a Missouri Valley where you get 1 or 2, maybe. There's going to be 4. There may be 5 teams from the Big Ten in the NCAA tournament. Where do you come down on this layoff?
Yeah, it's uncharted territory for this league. It's going to be something to definitely pay attention to as far as the seeding is concerned and how all four, possibly five teams from the Big Ten look for the opening weekend of March Madness. I think the rest will be good, especially for these teams like Michigan that just played a bunch of games in a bunch of days. But the layoff can definitely have some adverse effects. And if a team gets matched up against somebody in the first round that maybe a little bit fresher, possibly just not a good matchup, it's going to take them a little bit to get into the flow of the game. And you could see that leading to an upset or two for one of these highly ranked Big Ten teams.
All right, I mentioned we'd come back to Michigan State and Ohio State, and I'm curious, Michigan State, a team that got worked over by Michigan, but maybe they ran into a hot team in the Wolverines. Are you concerned about Ohio State or Michigan State in terms of where they'll be seated and what they could do in the dance?
I'm concerned more, I would say, about Michigan State than Ohio State. I've been high on Ohio State all season, probably higher than most. And I love watching Keita Bates-Diop play basketball. Jason Tate is an amazing player to watch as well. He's a really good complementary piece for them. So I think Ohio State will be fine. You know, their only three blemishes are those losses to the Nittany Lions. And you could just chalk that up as a bad matchup. They didn't have an answer for Tony Carr, so I'm not going to read too much into the fact that they stumbled against Penn State. Michigan State is tough to figure out. They definitely have the talent right now. And I think that team's going to go as far as Miles Bridges wants to take them. There is a ton of things hanging over Michigan State right now. You don't know how all the stuff off of the basketball court is going to affect their focus. The fact that they have a long break now before the tournament gets started might actually help them out. By the time that they're taking the court here in a couple weeks, you know, Izzo won't have to have had time to answer questions and talk about anything but basketball. They can really focus on just trying to get themselves ready to go play some meaningful games.
Eric, get you out of here on this. I have been on my soapbox about the Big East tournament in New York at MSG. Mm. That is their conference. That is their building when it comes to college basketball. The Big Ten tried to shoehorn themselves in. They changed their whole regular season to make it happen this year. You were there. Was it the right move for the Big Ten to go to New York?
Yes and no. On the no side, the ramifications that playing mad scientist with a schedule had on the entire conference was tough. I saw with Penn State they had a really difficult time scheduling non-conference games that were meaningful. They lost, you know, 4 or 5 days in December where they had to play two conference games. And then the fact that there was such short turnover during the entire regular season for a lot of these teams ultimately could lead to why this is only going to be a four-bid league. As far as the backdrop of Madison Square Garden for the Big Ten, it was an absolute success in my mind. Mm. There is a certain type of energy that you're only going to get at the Garden. People were really concerned about what attendance was going to look like, but after you got through the Thursday games, Friday, Saturday, and the championship game yesterday, sold out, building was packed. It was a really good melting pot of a lot of different fans. From past experiences being in Indianapolis or Chicago, you really just focus on, you see a lot of Purdue, Indiana, Illinois, Northwestern, the schools in the Midwest. I couldn't tell you which fan base was most well represented in the Big Ten tournament at Madison Square Garden, and to me that's a good thing. Also, a lot of the fans that I just talked to walking around, a lot of people were concerned that the fan bases from the Midwest weren't going to want to travel to New York City. That was furthest from the truth. Everyone I talked to was excited about the opportunity, given a reason to visit New York. And I wrote about this in one of my columns, but if you polled 1,000 people and said, do you want to spend 5 days in Indianapolis or New York City, I don't think it's really a question at that point of, well, you know, just what you're able to do outside of just the basketball games while you're in New York City. So I would be all for them doing it again down the road if they don't have the concerns with having to move the schedule around. And I'd also be interested to see what they do. You know, Penn State could argue to have a tournament in Philadelphia, which is an underrated city to do that type of a postseason tournament in. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities. Jim Delaney has shown that he's going to value the East Coast markets and want to build the Big Ten's brand there. So I don't think this is going to be the last time that we see a tournament in either New York, D.C., or Philadelphia. How that gets done going forward is the big question, but in my mind, it was an ultimate success.
Yeah, Eric's spoken like a true East Coast person like I am myself as well. Eric, good stuff today. Really appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That is Eric Leisure, btpowerhouse.com, SB Nation's great site covering the Big Ten. And, yeah, I think he's – I'm with him. But I think there are people in the Midwest who are not happy. I know Iowa fans were not happy. I know there are other fan bases not happy about having to travel as far away as they did, because Chicago for them is a drive. For others, Chicago is a drive. Indianapolis is a little bit of a longer drive, but it's still a drive for many Midwest schools. It's interesting. We'll recap the Big Ten tournament, continue that conversation next. SB Nation Radio.